Wow, amen. Wow, look at you. I hadn't seen how many of you came. Wow, wow, and look at those silly lights. I can hear you. Yeah, let's see. Oh, there you are. Well, actually, this was so sweet. Thank you. Thank you. Where's Joel? That's just, oh, so good. So good. I do marriage counseling. Rough night. I seem so good, though. Well, it was so sweet. I almost hate to say this right now, but I think I should say it. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I really mean this. Thank you for coming. But this is way more than we need. I'm glad you're here. Don't leave. You're here. You can't leave now. But we don't need... you see, it's not about quantity. It's about quality. Now, the more quantity you have, the better shot at quality, you know. But honestly, thank you for coming. But I want to do everything I can to help the church understand that Jesus came and... oh, there was lots of things happening, but finally, he invested in a few who changed the world. And the quality is what we're after. If we'll do whatever it takes to attract the presence of God in a way that he can trust us, right? I mean, he's present. We all agree? And able to do anything, all power is present. But can he trust us with it? Right. So God is present. He will speak. Thank you, Pastor. He will speak. And he might even do things. We could tell you miracles that have happened in our groups. But God can do anything at any time when he knows it's best. Yeah. And that means he has to trust us based on what we're seeking and who we're seeking. So we're going to work all week on quality. Is that okay? And so thank you for coming. Let me remind you to please be in prayer again that by Wednesday night, thank you for alluding that in the prayer time, that by 7:30 Wednesday night, there will be a core of people who are saying, I have a new holy resolve. God has convicted me by his Spirit that there's nothing less in my soul than to be determined to walk as Jesus walked. Would you pray toward that end? And there will be... that we'll have to maneuver around and through some mindsets to get there. And it'll require not only the work of the Spirit, but our cooperation. But I want you to know, if we had a group of people who were saying, whatever I brought to the table prior to this, at this point, I know for me, I want such a relationship with Jesus. I'm going to so abide in him that there will be fruit that I will actually walk the way Jesus walked. So that might take some jumping, but could you join me in prayer to that end? And let's go ahead. Would it be okay to stand again? I know you were been up and down and up and down, but this is better than, you know, we don't have time to go to the gym, so this is where we do it. All right, so here we go. Let's read this again. I just had us read it this morning. Let's read it again. Here we go. We know that we've come to know him if we keep his commands. Do you believe that? I mean, that's a big deal. We'll nail that Tuesday night so that it makes sense that it's possible and we can be responsible for what is intended in that. And I at least I'm satisfied. Let's keep going. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Okay, you ready to read it tonight? I purposely let us read it silently this morning. But tonight you've seen it. If I imagine most of you are here this morning. Tonight, here it is. This is how we know. This is how we know that we're in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Fair enough? We're going to work on that, okay? Because it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Everybody say amen. I mean, that's the biggest amen I get, you know? Sounds ridiculous. There you go. Thank you. But but it's true. So we're going to work on that and try to not only make sense of it, but respond deeply and profoundly. Thank you, Jesus, that your presence will help us. You'll speak to us tonight. Amen. You may be seated. So if we're to walk as Jesus walked, let's start with the question, how did Jesus walk? One time I asked that question, and there was a teenager, and he said, on his legs. And I said, thank you, we appreciate that. But someone else said he walked on water, and they were saying something. They meant it. They were saying, when Jesus was here, there was power. There was power. He did supernatural things. There was miracle. And that was their picture of Jesus, and they were being very sincere. He walked on water. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow night. Very, very, hopefully meaningfully. There is expected and intended to be power of the supernatural variety that can be explained in no way other than the living God. There's supposed to be a lot more healing going on. I've been to Africa, I've been to China, I've been to India. I've seen dramatic miracle. I know that God works, but I also know those folks. They don't have what we have of stuff. Their dependency is not on what many cases are. What we're well-intended, Jesus, how I trust thee, and all these other things, because we've got them and they haven't been taken away from us yet. We might see it. And that'll be good. Everybody say amen. Because then we'll get down to the rock. And we're not gonna crash and burn. We're gonna say, I do trust you, Jesus. Whatever comes. And we'll get stronger as the pressures come. But it looks like they're coming, and that's good. Okay. So Jesus walked in power. We're gonna talk about that tomorrow night if we're talking about walking as Jesus walked. And sometimes someone was asking today, most of the churches we go to are Nazarene. I grew up in the Nazarene church, blah, blah, blah. We go to others. But my tribe, and I don't know how many of you come from Nazarene denomination, but my tribe has made a big deal about holiness, about sanctification. And so when I say, what was Christ actually like? Some people will say, well, he was holy. I say, oh, yes, he was. But he also did say, Peter, the Spirit spoke to Peter and said, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in everything you do. So, yes, Jesus walked in power, right? And yes, I mean, he healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, walked on water, and Jesus was holy. And tonight we're going to talk about his holiness. But I want to just say something that I believe, and incidentally, anything that I say, please test it carefully by Scripture. And if what I'm saying, you think I'm not getting it right, you will do me a great service if you will talk to me honestly. I will stand before the Lord one day and give an account. I'm more responsible, as James says, because I'm given a greater responsibility, and I don't want to be making mistakes. So if you hear something you think isn't quite fair, quite accurate, out of balance, please tell me. I'd appreciate it. So what I want to say right now might be a little bit jarring to you, but what Jesus did in power and what Jesus did as holy were fruit, not root. They were byproduct, not core. Tonight, I want to talk to you about two core issues that are the ways that Jesus walked. And actually, I'm going to dare to say, I think that there's a first cause, and from that, there was an effect, and that effect also then becomes a cause that finally resulted in Jesus being holy and Jesus doing power. Everybody tracking with me? Okay. So, I want to talk first to you about this middle cause. It's actually a second cause. I want to talk to you about how Jesus walked. These are his own words. We don't need 2,000 years of theological interpretation. Jesus said this. If Scripture is inspired, I happen to believe it is for very serious reasons, you have to settle that. It's a big deal. When the Bible, as long as we interpret Scripture accurately, are we hearing God speak? For me, the answer is yes. Interpretation's a big deal. But Jesus, assuming Scripture's perfectly inspired, Jesus said some things about himself that I want to talk with you about tonight. If we're to walk as Jesus walked, we need to know how, we need to know Jesus. So I want to talk to you about these things. Jesus did nothing apart from the Father. Jesus said about himself, and he said this in several different ways, in various ways. I'll give you one verse. The Son can do nothing by himself. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't have the ability to pick up some rice and put it in his mouth or go walk from Jerusalem to Jericho on his own. That's not the key point here. The point is the Son can do nothing by himself. By himself. That means the Son will not allow himself to do anything on his own. Now, let me take just a brief pause here and tell you that this morning, what I talked about when I went through this process, those lights follow me around. Silly lights. Thank you very much. So this morning when I talked about this, I didn't come up with it on my own. Aren't you glad to hear that? I studied carefully how Jesus lived his life. And all of this that I talked to you from our point of view, I stole from how Jesus lived his life. So tonight, change with me. Instead of having Jesus, actually the Holy Spirit, sitting here, remember, the Word became flesh. Have Jesus sit right here tonight. Fair enough? This is Jesus tonight. When he came 2,000 years ago, the Word became flesh. Did Jesus have thoughts? Mm-hmm. Was he tempted? Really tempted? Oh yeah, he had thoughts. And when he was tempted, those thoughts were in his mind. Did they affect him so that he had emotions? Oh yes, he did, big time. And did Jesus have desires? Yes, he did. Everybody said yes on that one? Yeah, lots of desires, and we'll talk about that tonight. But here's what I want us to recognize. Jesus had the ability, and you'll have to wrestle with this theologically, if Jesus was actually tempted in all ways like each of us are, as Hebrews says, if Jesus truly emptied himself of his prerogatives of God, as Philippians chapter 2 says, if Jesus really became like us in every way, as Hebrews says, when Jesus was here in the flesh, he had thoughts and he had emotions and he had desires and he was tempted to do what he thought. But he wouldn't. He could have, but he wouldn't. Because his will, and this is why I love him so much, his will was set to never do anything independently of his Father. The Son can do nothing by himself. The Son only does what he sees the Father doing. So when Jesus did something, in fact, everything that Jesus did, Jesus says what he did is because he was in consultation with his Father, either on the spot or from a prior early meeting or from who knows how long ago. But when Jesus did something, he says, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And so the Word, the idea, the concept, the theory, that's what words are. Everybody with me? The words, the Spirit, the idea became flesh. And God was manifest. We saw the works of God, the Spirit of God, in the life of Jesus. Because he wouldn't do flesh. He only did Spirit. Everybody clear? That's how Jesus lived his life. That's why I love him. He never was selfish. He didn't ever do what he felt like doing unless it's what his Father wanted him to do. See? That's how Jesus lived his life. He was dependent on his Father. And dependency for us is much, much more, much greater than dependence on grace for forgiveness. If you have faith in Jesus, that means you depend on him for direction. If you go your own direction, your faith is in yourself. And if most of your life, you're living your life by doing what you think and what you want, your faith is in yourself except for a little tiny bit of your life called faith in Jesus to die for us so that I've got insurance for heaven. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of a king who came to rule and reign and give us life. See? And we have to get a hold of this. So Jesus said the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. I'm not asking you if you agree with me, but do you understand what I'm saying? Is this clear? This is how Jesus lived. And if we're to walk as Jesus walked, how good are we? Well, it doesn't make too much difference how good we are, because the issue is our will set to depend? Are we determined to walk as Jesus walked? You can walk out of here tonight saying, Jesus, like you, my will is set not to do what I think or I feel or I want until I found out what you... We can set our will to that tonight. And if we did, God who sees the heart... Sorry, I'm driving the light people crazy. God who knows the heart says, perfect. See, nothing can keep you from saying, Jesus, my faith is in you. I'm determined to do nothing by myself, because you came to live in me last night. Remember from last night? You came to live in me by your Spirit. Now I'm no longer single. Now there's two of us. The two are here. See? So the Son will not do anything by himself. Son can't do anything by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. Let me push on a little bit. Jesus not only didn't do anything by himself, he didn't even say anything apart from the Father. I do nothing on my own. Do you hear it? Is it making sense? I don't do anything on my own. That's plain English. I don't know how you could miss that. I do nothing on my own, but I speak just what the Father has taught me. Once I didn't know, the Father taught me, now I know. And what I say is because the Father gave it to me. And my words are the words of the Father. Jesus said that my words are, you hear my words and the words of the Father. That's how Jesus lived his life. Clear? Easy? Do we need help? Mm-hmm. In our group processes that we'll be having, and incidentally, you are so welcome to come to the group, and hopefully we will need to expand. But please don't feel any pressure, but we need practice. See, forgive me, I was watching some games today. I shouldn't have been, but I mean, and that doesn't matter. Anyhow, I was watching some games today. All three of my teams lost. that's why. So, can you imagine a football coach? I used to be a coach. I used to put all that stuff. And can you imagine a coach saying, now, here's the play. You're going to play quarterback. You're going to play da-da-da-da. And here's what we're going to do. Now, sick 'em. No, football teams have a little time in theory. And then they go and they practice and they practice and they practice and they practice and they practice. And then they go out to a game that doesn't matter. Everybody say, it doesn't matter. The Bears aren't playing. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Bears are out. In the church, we do what we're doing right now. Guys like me stand up and talk with you. Ladies like me stand up and talk. Talk and talk. And you know what we say? We say, sick 'em. We don't practice. Out there, life's going fast. Things are happening. It's moving. It's full speed. And we're trying to think, Jesus, and remember so we finally did, and then next Sunday, and we feel, okay, sick him this week, and then, but we don't practice his presence, so we're not so good at living it out there. I'm not being negative or critical, you know, we do a lot of good, everybody know that, but oh, so much more God wants to do. Think of the church in America, You understand? Look at where America is. It's not the world's fault, is it? It's not their fault. You expect pagans to be like pagans. You expect pagans to lead the way they think without God. Of course. Why should we be surprised? Of course they think the way they do and behave the way they do. See, but it's us. The salt isn't salty enough. The light is not light enough. See, so Jesus said, I do nothing on my own, but I speak just what the Father has taught me. How did Jesus live? Out of this sensitive relationship that he was aware that the Father was always with him by the Spirit. And Jesus was Spirit-led, not flesh-driven. Does Jesus dwell in you by his Spirit? Do you hear his voice? Everybody say yes, we do. We do. You may not recognize it, and that's what we're going to practice in our meetings. See? But it's we have the ability to say the words of God and to do the works of God. The things I do, Jesus said, in fact, you too shall do, in fact, even greater things because I go to the Father. If I go to the Father, I'll send the Spirit. But we're far from that. And we, you know, you're all kind of looking at me. I can even see you now. You're looking at me thinking, this guy might be nuts. The verdict's not quite in, but it's getting close. We are the body of Christ. We are to live, to walk as Jesus walked. We're called to a high and holy calling. Amen? See, and we gather together to help each other remember and renew and commit and be accountable and pray so that we can be out there what the lost world that Jesus sent us to redeem, right? We are the redeeming quality in the culture. But see, we got to work on the salt. And thank you for coming. Thank you. We're working on it. Okay? We're going to practice. So I do nothing. Jesus even says more. He said, I don't even make judgments apart from the Father. See, you and I make judgments all the time. We make judgments every time we drive. The light turns red. We judge, and we look at people. My propensity, I come to a church like this and have all the nice things happen that have already happened today, and I'm prone to judge you as being really wonderful. But it's not right because it's my perspective. And I don't know. But if I lived with you for about 2 months and you had to live with me, I might change my judgment from really wonderful to, oh, do you know what they're like? And in both cases, I would be in error because I don't have the mind of Christ. I don't have the knowledge of God. Only God has full knowledge of everything. And he alone can make perfect judgment because he alone knows the death. We can't even judge ourselves accurately. None of us has a clue what we're fighting against. None of us has a clue the battles that we're fighting. And we beat and whip ourselves up. We're making very bad judgments. Of course, we make good judgments about ourselves that are very in error too, don't we? See, but God knows. And Jesus said, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. So, Jesus, when is the end of the age? Jesus said, I don't know. My Father alone knows that. Right? See? Jesus grew in wisdom. Jesus learned to obey. Now, I'm saying some things that might be a bit different for you as you think about Jesus. It's going to get worse. Jesus really came all the way to us. He became like us in every way. And that, I just said some stuff there, and we can talk about it if you want. Jesus said, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just for my motive is not to please myself, but him who sent me. Jesus wouldn't make judgments about Mary of Magdala apart from knowing the Father's perspective. Jesus wouldn't make judgments about the Pharisees. When he spoke to the Pharisees, you brood of vipers! And Jesus, don't you know that Jesus doesn't talk that way? Did you forget who you are? Well, Jesus was given judgment and given what to say because he was always dependent on his Father. That's how Jesus walked. I don't know if you've heard about this as being normal Christianity. But if you're in Christ, you're to walk as Jesus walked. Is that fair? Am I cheating? See, is this a narrow way? Someone said something about that once. Who was that? So, yes, it's a narrow way. Everybody say, I'm so glad I'm saved by grace. But called to be holy. And Jesus gave me a church and the Spirit and the Word to help me. You with me? We need help and we'll practice. I want to stop and say, can we talk about this? But we don't have time because we don't do church by listening. We just do church by talking. Right? You came, but we will talk later. And incidentally, no one will be embarrassed when we meet in a small group. You won't talk unless you choose to. And you won't be embarrassed. You won't be pressured at all. So if you want to, if you were thinking about it, it'd be nice to go, but I'm afraid they'll put me on the spot. You won't be put on the spot. And I'm not trying to get people to come in the sense that it's not about the numbers, but I would like you to experience the presence of the Lord as we will. So far, do you hear what I'm saying? There's a certain way that Jesus lived his life. He did nothing apart from his Father. Tracking with me? This is Jesus sitting here. This is still the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God who indwelled Jesus. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. Jesus had thoughts and emotions and desires, and they were real. They were more real than any thoughts and desires you've ever had. He was tempted more than any of us. Do we all agree? Because he was tempted in all ways, and none of us have been tempted like everyone's been tempted, only Jesus was. But he would not let the flesh govern him. But he walked by the Spirit. Everybody clear? That's how Jesus lived his life. Understand? Do you buy it? Is it true? Then is it true that we're called to walk that way? Would you like to embrace that lifestyle? How many thoughts have you had today? About 80,000 by now. Would it be good to dialogue with Jesus as if he came to live in you and as if you were married to him, as if he were the groom and you were the bride, as if he were the head and you were the body? Would it be good to talk with him? Did I lose you? See, we have to understand there's all the difference in the world between intention or commitment and performance. And until we make commitment, we'll never make progress in performance. And as long as we're afraid to make commitment because we can't perform, we're functionally legalists because the assumption is I'm right with God because of how well I do. Is everybody awake? We're not saved by grace when we're afraid to commit. We're actually, out of fear of rejection, fear of coming short, we're actually announcing that we're pure legalists. Does that need dialogue? Okay. This is a great group. Did you know that? Okay, good. Okay. So, that's how Jesus lived his life, in this significant communion with his Father. But how did he do that? How did he walk? That's a big deal. I could commit to it and be authentic and not do very well, but stay committed and be pretty frustrated because I came so short. But God, who sees my heart, knows that I'm working at it. But there's some things we can do. I think there's some things Jesus did, which I think is all the way down to the very core root of how it is that Jesus was not only holy, but he was empowered. Incidentally, if Jesus heard the Holy Spirit say this, and he said what the Holy Spirit said, would that be a holy word? Does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? If the Holy Spirit speaks and you say what he said, would that be a holy word? We can do that, can't we? How often should we do that? Once every 47,000 words? How many of our words should be the fruit of the Spirit instead of the fruit of the flesh? The world lives by the flesh. How do we walk? We walk by the unless we've somehow got it in our mind, well, we can't do that, and it's just God, it's up to you. No, he'll do his part, has been. Where there's a flaw, it's on our side. Is that okay? See, so we've got to work with this. Got to work with it. So how was it that Jesus got so good at it? I think that if one time, I'm beyond scripture here, I think that if one time Jesus heard the Spirit say no. And he said, yeah, but they won't like me. So the answer is yes. I think if he died on the cross, it wouldn't have been for our sin, it would have been for his. Because that's sin, ignoring God. But he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't. That's why when he died on the cross, it wasn't for his sin, because he wouldn't live independently. He walked by faith in his Father. It's a big deal to walk by faith. Everybody understand? It's a big deal. It's not just quickie. It's work. So what do you think the deeper core underneath? How many think you have an idea what I'm going to say next? Anybody awake? Okay. Got a couple hands. Well, let me just spill the beans. I can't prove this. Please argue with me if you think, not now, but later. Okay. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. What is prayer? Communion. Most of the time when Jesus was praying, probably he wasn't explaining to the Father how things are down here as if the Father didn't know. Do you imagine? Prayer is, oh, there's certainly some time for self, for pouring it out, as I'll model even in a moment when I talk about how Jesus prayed, as I believe it. But most of the time Jesus was in prayer, it was in communion, it was communication, it was relational, and probably Jesus was listening more than he was talking. Do you imagine? What do you think? Possibly. If Jesus had emptied himself of his wisdom and his prerogative as God, he probably knew that he needed to hear from the Father. That's why I spend time alone with the Father, because I got all this stuff going. I need to hear from God. So Jesus went early in the morning. It was dark, to a quiet place. Now, very early. 6 o'clock is early. Very early, that's about 4 o'clock. Right? Now, my theory is this, that Jesus denied himself sleep rather than deny relationship with people. People aren't up at 4 o'clock, but his Father was, and he was. Because he needed that more than anything else. He was made for relationship. He became like us in every way. We're made for relationship. He needed relationship with his Father. True? How I see it. So very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You think about Jesus. Does your Jesus, the Jesus that's in your mind, did he need time with the Father? Or maybe he just did it to be an example for us. I think he desperately needed it. Jesus often did it. Lonely places. He went away. And he didn't cheat on, quote, ministry. He denied himself to get alone with his Father. It cost him to have dates with his dad. It cost him. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray. And he spent the night. I can hear his mother, can you? Maybe his mother was like mine. Son, you're going to catch pneumonia. And that's going to mess you up. See, Jesus had this Messiah complex. He thought he came to save the world. He was telling people about it. And I can hear his mom say, son, you got a lot of work to do. You got a big job. And if you're going to be staying up all night, you're going to get sick. And that, I don't know what his mom said. My point, Jesus had a lot to do. He was probably busier than most of us. But he had time for the first priority of his life, which is his relationship with his Father, which he nurtured. His Father was important to him. His Father's purposes were important to him. So because he was dependent, he got alone with his Father. Are you wrestling with me tonight? Or am I irritating some of your ideas about Jesus? I'm not trying to. I just wouldn't be surprised if I am. Because most of us don't really have Jesus this dependent. on the Father. But we are. And he came all the way to us to become one of us. To show us how, come to me, learn of me, follow me. I'll save you. I'll give you life. Watch me. Watch what I did. This is what he did. How important is prayer? Oh, not maybe the ways we've done prayer, but honest depth, communion. We're going to practice prayer in our time. We're going to practice hanging out with Jesus. Debbie has a very, very severe sore throat tonight and didn't want to, you know, didn't want to make anyone sick and didn't feel good. So we'll have her tell this. This is a great story. I could tell it, but not as good as she can. So what is Jesus doing this moment? What's he doing right now? He's sitting beside the Father. He ever lives to do what? To make intercession. The story that Debbie told us about intercession. We'll get that. Jesus for 2,000 years. Not only while he was here, but for 2,000 years. I imagine, I'm sure he does other things, but the scripture says he ever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. My point, prayer was important to Jesus. Still is. Still is. He's still talking to the Father about us. See? I have no idea. What time did we start? 6:30? Yeah, okay. All right, okay. I want to tell a story, but I think I'll skip it, except just to say this. The point of the story is that a pastor whose church had gone from 77 to 7 and was devastated gave up on every and anything other than prayer and started praying. And 2 years ago, I walked in and spoke to over 500 people in that church. And all they did at that church fundamentally is pray. Oh, they do a little bit more. But they found out that it wasn't dependent on all the things that he'd been doing and all that they'd been doing. But they started praying and they got in a relationship with the Lord. So they got clean and they got to see him and he got big and they got small. And then they trusted him and then they could hear him and they were able to obey him instead of doing their agenda. And all of a sudden everything's flowing by the Spirit. And now there's an explosion and God is healing people. And people are being transformed and marriages are being saved because a church figured out that the primary reason they were made individually and collectively is for a relationship with God, and that relationship starts in the quiet place, and it goes all day long, but it starts in the quiet place. We have a hard time, and here's my theory, this may not be right, but put it positively, we do a whole lot better denying ourselves, saying no to what I think, feel, and want, until I found out for sure what Jesus thinks and wants, if I've spent quite a bit of time with him. But if I spend my time doing a bunch of other things that seem important to me, and I don't have time to just focus on the Lord, then all these things get bigger. What I think and I feel and I want, my fears and my hopes and my dreams get more centered on me, and more and more and more I quit paying attention to God unless I get to the quiet place. And we need tonight, dear friends, hear me. This is not about making anyone feel guilty. I ought to. I'm begging God to burn into our souls. Burn into our souls that we were made for relationship. We weren't made, first of all, to do good works. We were made for Jesus. And when we get in relationship with him and we learn that the two become one, then he speaks and we believe and we obey and he has a body. And we do the works for which we were prepared for. But it's out of relationship. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing, see? And it's not about a little dab of Jesus will do you. He is God. And when we repent, we invite God to come dwell in our lives. Do you see it? And he's important. Lost people, most of them aren't atheists. They just don't think that God matters much. And they figure he's doing his part and I'll do mine. You know, what Jesus invites us into is the kind of relationship he had with his Father. Come to me, learn of me, follow me. If anyone's in Christ, he'll walk as Jesus walked. The Father was the big, first, most important thing in Jesus' life. True? Do you get it? And if we're going to make progress in it, we need a church where we all kind of agree to this. It makes sense to us. And we do it, and we struggle, but we help each other because we see it and we're committed to it, and we gather together to help each other do what we're committed to doing. Everybody glad you came? Okay. I hope this is wonderfully encouraging. So, once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. You know, there it is. He's praying in private and his disciples are with him. And I could, you know, here's what I really want to say about that. Jesus is talking with his Father, but he brought his guys with him to let them watch him. See, think about it. I'm not putting anyone down here. Please don't throw rocks at me now. I don't like tomatoes and rocks. But can you believe, please, I'm not picking on anyone. We send our kids off to the piano teacher to get lessons on how to play the piano. We send our kids off to the soccer coach to coach them in how to play soccer. Those things really matter. Where do we send our kids to learn? Jesus took his disciples with him and said, watch. And he coached them. He discipled them in how to hang out with the Father as the first priority of their life like it was for him. Where are we doing that? We don't do it in the church. Every prayer meeting should be a training time. That's why the fewer the better. Because everybody gets a practice. Right? I didn't get many amens on that one. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, James, and John with him and went up to a mountain to pray. Same idea. See it? See? One day Jesus was praying in a particular place. I've found being in a different place every week in a different environment, different circumstance, I'm not so good at being able to figure out how to get some structure because it's different every week. It's much harder than when I had a consistent, steady schedule. And I never knew it was going to happen from 12 o'clock till midnight. But I had my mornings time with the Lord first and then time with the Lord for sermon prep. But my sermon prep time was not my time with the Lord. That was relationship time. And because I had a place and a time, it worked a lot better. Jesus was praying in a particular place. We need some structures. Structures are good. When they get rigid, it becomes awful. But you need some structure to have life. My body has some bones on it, see? Some structure. Each evening, Jesus went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. What do you suppose? Now we know that this has to be in context because some evenings he was up north quite a ways away, 60, 70 miles away, and donkeys don't walk that fast, you know. So he did, but when he was in the proximity of the Mount of Olives, it says each evening he went out to spend the night. Any idea what he did? Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives and prayed. The one thing I've been trying to say in this last 15 or 20 minutes is Jesus gave all kinds of time alone to be with the Father. Do you think Jesus had a pretty busy schedule? We got to come to grips with it. Apart from the flippant, and forgive me, Pastor, please. The pastor will have a very long message next Sunday because he has to correct everything I've said this week. So, but this isn't about what I ought to do. This is about who is my life? My God. God. We're believers. We're weird. We're strangers, foreigners, sojourners, Martians, aliens. That's who we are. We really are. We're different. See, the world, there's only one person when you look in the world, that person. But when you look at a Christian, there's two of us in here, Jesus and me, right? Jesus and me. See, we're weird. Uh-huh. But Jesus seldom forces, but it's through the communion with Jesus that my life is hidden with Christ in God. Make sense? So
Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives and prayed. Do you recognize where Luke 22 is? Are you familiar enough? Luke 24 is the resurrection. Luke 23 is the crucifixion. What's Luke 22? What's that about? Gethsemane. Uh-huh. The Mount of Olives. Let me take time to tell you this and we'll be through. As Jesus was coming down toward the end of his life, he started talking more and more about the cross. And I'm going to be coming with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, putting them all together here, all right? But as he came down toward the end, the cross seemed to be more in his consciousness because he talked about it more. And as a man thinks, so is he. And from the heart come the words. And so out of his mouth came what he was thinking about. And so Jesus was thinking more and more about the cross as he got closer and closer to it. And he talked about it more. So here we are on the night that he introduced the Passover. But the new Passover, the new covenant to his disciples. Here we are. He takes the cup and he says, "This is the cup of the new covenant." And they take the bread. This is my body, the bread of the new covenant. And they share that together. And then he says, "The Son is going to be crucified, but I'll be raised from the dead." And the disciples are their heads spinning, and he's talking to them. And then they sang a hymn, and it sounded a lot like we sang tonight, I think. And they sang a hymn, and then they went out. Jesus went out with his disciples, 11 of them now. He went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives. Okay? So here, now I want you to watch. Jesus, the cross had gotten closer and closer to Jesus' person. He was thinking about the cross. It was in the crosshairs of his vision. And he's thinking about the cross. So there they are. They're walking. They're making their way. And I want you to notice what happens if you put the four Gospels together. Jesus is walking along. He says, "Come now, let us be going." Takes all 11. They walk for a little ways. Then all of a sudden, Jesus stops. He turns and he says, "No, guys, stay here." Okay. And so then he goes on. And he's thinking about the cross. Must be, because he stops and he goes back and says, "No, Peter, James, and John, you guys come with me." So here's Jesus. This is our Jesus, right? This is our Jesus. And here he is. And so now Peter and James and John come with him for a while, and he goes along and he's thinking about it, and then he stops again. He says, "No, stay here." And he goes on by himself and he falls on his face. What I'm saying is, Jesus was being torn. He was ambivalent, struggling, see? And so he comes along, he falls on his face, and he sweats blood. Now, I used to say his sweat was like blood, or maybe it was blood. They're different, depends upon the translation. And one night I said that, and a medical doctor came to me after he said, "You do know, don't you, that when the human body gets under enough stress, the blood vessels closest to the skin burst from the stress, and the blood makes its way out through the easiest escape route, and that is through the sweat glands." And there's a name, big long name for it, I can't remember. But Jesus sweat blood. I've never sweat blood. I've never come close to carrying anything that made me sweat blood. Jesus did. He was carrying it. And I don't think we have a clue what he was carrying. And I have some guesses. I'm not going to take time to tell you my guesses. But he was carrying it. So Jesus on his face, and hear what he prays. He says, and you know it, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Father, I've been thinking some stuff, and I'm feeling it, and I don't want to go to the cross. You think you struggle with your flesh? You ever sweat blood? You with me? So here's Jesus. But what does he do? Nevertheless, not what I superficially want, but my will is that your will be done. See, now think about it. This is almost ludicrous. Jeez, I'm sorry. I don't mean to say this. But when Jesus said, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. This is what the Father and Son agreed to from before the foundation of the world. This is a big part of why Jesus came, to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It was agreed upon before there was a creation. And Jesus, in essence, is saying, I've been staring at the cross, and I'm understanding a whole bunch of things about it that I didn't get before, and I'm feeling it. And Father, Jesus was saying, may we abort the mission. Because I'm scared, or something. You fill in the blank. It had to be big. Would you agree? Did Jesus know the mission? He never would do what he thought it would, because the mission, he was to die on a cross, and he dared not be independent but always dependent. That's why I love him so much. But Jesus didn't pray through. Meaning, he prayed for an hour. He didn't, the noise, he didn't get the answer. So remember what he did? He goes back to Peter, James, and John. Come on, guys! He didn't say it like that. I don't know how he said it. But he begged him. Jesus needed a church. Right. I need a church. If I'm going to walk as Jesus walked, I need a church. Not just to pray for me, to walk with me. Amen. Help me keep it clear and help me keep working on it. So Jesus, come on, guys. And they had an interesting conversation. And then it comes back. Jesus gets alone for another hour. Father, if it be, we have record, if it be possible, he prayed the same thing for another hour. Still didn't pray through. You know what it means to pray through? It means peace. You got it. You're good. You and God, you're okay. You've got the truth. You believe it. You're free. Jesus didn't get there. So he goes back to the disciples again. They're sleeping. So he goes back for a third time, another hour. We don't have any record of what he said in this hour. I'm going to share something with you that is my own experience, okay? I own it as my experience. It may not be theologically accurate, though I kind of think it's pretty close. I was asked to teach a Sunday school class when I was a college senior, and I happened to choose this passage of scripture I'm talking to you about tonight. And I got to this third time where Jesus was alone in the garden. He didn't say anything. And I'm picturing Jesus now. He's in a clump on the ground. There's blood, mud, whatever that together looks like. And his face is a mess. And there he is. But he's not crying out anymore. He's just in a clump. He's spent. He's poured out everything. 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours. Maybe 3 hours. He's poured it all out. And now he's empty. See, often we don't hear God because there's a storm in our soul. And when your thoughts and your emotions and your desires are screaming, it's hard to run and say, oh, God, talk to me. Because you don't hear in the noise of your soul. Everybody clear? Right. And so he's poured it all out, and there he is in a clump, emptied. And now I had an experience, a vision. I didn't see the Father, but I saw the effect of the Father. I saw the Son. I could imagine Jesus in my mind, which is what I was doing. Any of us could imagine Jesus of our own initiation here. But I saw Jesus. But then I didn't. This all was new. I didn't think about it. It just happened. Jesus is there. And all of a sudden, it's like he's and then he starts looking up all of a sudden. And I see Jesus looking up. And it's like the Father reached down and put his hand under his chin and just looked up. And simultaneously, just before Jesus looked up, I had thoughts come to my mind that I didn't plan. I'm just telling you, I didn't plan it. It just happened. I think it was the Lord. I think it was. I can't prove it. But I think the Holy Spirit put in my mind these words. I heard the Father speaking to Jesus. And I heard the biblical words, Son. Son. And right then, I heard it, Jesus lifted his eyes. And it was like he heard the Father. And he said, do you have any idea how pleased I am with you? Do you know my pleasure in you? And finally, in the midst of the quiet, Jesus heard the Father. And it infected him, and the cross moved a little ways away. Heard, do you know how pleased I am with you? And then it went on, and it's going to take me a couple minutes to tell you, but it happened quickly in my little experience. I sense the Father saying, I love Moses, and I love Abraham, and I love Noah and Jonah, and I love all the others as I love you, but I'm not pleased with them the way I'm pleased with you. Because they all were independent and selfish and they did their own thing. But you have never once have you been independent of me. You've been perfect. I'm so thrilled with you and you're a delight to me. And Jesus starts looking up and something happens. There's a bit of a glow as he sees the Father and he hears the truth. And the truth is doing something in his soul. He's hearing truth and it's setting him free. And I can see it on his face. He's coming alive. The fear, the anxiety, the stress, whatever it was. I don't know what words to put on. Whatever it was, it's going away. And the Father keeps talking to him. And the Son's listening now. And the Father said, I love them. Just as I love you, but I need to take they have not been what you've been. And you're still the hope. You're so close to the cross. So let me tell you. You don't have to lay down your life. I hear you asking me if there's any other thing we can do, any other way we can go about this, if we can somehow abort the mission. I hear you asking me, and I want you to know. It's your choice. I don't force you to go to the cross. But before you make your decision, let me remind you that they're hopeless without you. That may sound like pressure. It's just the truth. They need you desperately. And they've all sinned and they've all come short. And you're so close to the finish line. You're just an inch. And I promise you, I will be with you. And I will give you what you need. You see, way deep down in the corners of my soul, I know a lot of things Jesus might have been nervous about. But I think most of all, maybe, when he knew he was going to be slammed in the side, be slammed on the cross, have the stuff, have the words, maybe for the first time, instead of saying, Father, forgive them, he'd say, oh. Maybe for the first time, instead of waiting for the Father, people would say and do things, and he'd react to them out of his flesh. I don't know that. I just know he was deeply committed to walking by the Spirit. The Father says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Jesus heard the words of the Father, and the cross moved out. Faith began to come, and love for the Father began to flow as Jesus heard the Father's love because he loved because he was first loved. Does that sound familiar? And he saw the Father's love for Abraham and Moses and Isaac. And he saw the Father's love for Peter, James, and John and for Judas and Herod and Pilate and for all of us. He saw the Father's love for all of them. He saw the Father caring about them. It got into him and infected him, not just with love for the Father, but with love for everyone else. And his heart was healed. He had guarded his heart. His heart was healed. And he was able to set his face like flint, to stand, to go pick up his disciples, say, come now, let us be going, and to move to the cross because he had a healed heart. You see, everything comes from the heart. But it takes time. It takes time to get the heart clean and keep it clean because junk comes all the time. And I this evening, I just want to say to us, tell you first perhaps, there is a deep, deep love for Jesus in me. Because I've seen him. And when you see him, just like when he saw the Father, it affects you. And I see Jesus best and most in the quiet place. We call it worship, but we can't get together for the number of hours that we need for communion. We need to learn how to do it on our own. And that's why the church needs to train people how to do it on their own, because it's a pretty tough task to listen to and talk to someone you can't see and have a hard time hearing. That's difficult. But Jesus got alone with the Father, best Father-Son meeting that ever happened in all of history. And Jesus was broken, crushed. But after the Father-Son conversation, he was able to go. Do you know why we give up? Do you know why the cross gets too heavy? Do you know why we quit on our kids? Why we quit on the church? Why we quit on the task? Why? Because it gets heavy. It gets hard. People fail us. Bad things happen. But when you go to the garden and you pour it all out, you pour it all out till you're empty, till you can hear again and you hear the Father saying, do you have any idea how delighted I am? Here you are. Do you have any idea my pleasure in you? And we start experiencing the love of God again. Love comes and says, do you have any idea how much I love them? And I know it's hard. I know it's tough, but you're their best hope. You don't have to die on that cross, but there are crosses for you that you need to deny yourself and take up your cross, because I'll use you to save those people who treat you badly and do the wrong thing and don't listen and don't honor and don't respond and all those things. But can you do it one more time? And after you've been to the garden, the answer is straight ahead. Because I've seen Jesus. The church needs to be with Jesus. A whole lot more, and forgive me, a lot more than you guys can ever do for us in 40 minutes on Sunday morning. Thank you for what you do. It's a great start. You got to coach us. You got to help us. It's a big deal. We've got to see Jesus, but that's not near enough. You got to train us to do it all week long. That's why you got to sing songs we can sing in the closet. Sorry, I'm just helping a little there. This is a big deal, friends. We are the body of Christ. Tonight, you could determine to walk as Jesus walked, which means, number one, first priority of life, you'll spend time with the Father the way he did. You'll do whatever it takes to figure out how. You say, well, it's boring. Well, you learn how to make it not boring. You say, I don't have time. You learn how to prioritize your time. You say, I will spend time with you, Lord. That's the first step to getting on the way to doing it. Amen. Make sense? But you need a community where that's a common value. It's not something to get preached at every few weeks that you ought to. No, it's deep in our heart. We need Jesus because we're the hope of the world. We're the light of the world. And our light's flickering low. And we need help. And besides that, we want to have joy. And besides that, Jesus made us for relationship and all kinds of reasons. That the big thing that Christians do, little Christ, disciples of Jesus, is they hang out with Jesus. Amen? Well, I talked too long. Did the Lord say anything to you? Tonight, if you will, you can set your will. Doesn't mean you're good at it. Doesn't mean you'll change overnight. But you can set your will to say, Jesus, like you, I'm going to learn how to get up early. I'm going to stay up late. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to follow you. You said, come to me, learn of me. Okay, I watch you. You went up to a mountain to pray. I'm going to learn. We could set our will tonight that we're going to get better. We're going to get better at hanging out with Jesus because we are his disciples. Disciples hang out with him. Tonight, if we could set our will to that, we could also set our will that we're going to get better. Before I speak, before I do things, before I even judge things, I'm going to go to Jesus, the table. I'm going to say, Jesus, this is what I was thinking. What do you think? This is what I want. What do you want? So that Jesus is actually Lord instead of me saying his Lord, but I call the shots, which is what many Christians are doing. Everybody understand? I'm not mad, but brokenhearted. And I need a church. I need a bunch of weird people, strangers, foreigners, who have left this life to follow Jesus, and as soon as we get there, he sends us right back to be in the world as his representatives. But you can't be like him unless you're with him. Thank you for coming. It might get worse tomorrow night, or it might be easier. You never know. Tonight, I'm going to just ask you, however it works best for you, I could ask you to come forward. I could ask you to stand. I could ask you to raise your hand. Whatever you need to do to be very real with the Lord, his question is, will you walk as I walked, starting with getting alone with me like I was with the Father? Not ability, but intention. Will. We can set our wills to that. And out of that, will you set your will to not live independently, but dependently? Will you set your will to be led by me, to let me be the leader instead of making me be the follower? Could you talk to Jesus now? Amen. If I had my way, we'd all talk with each other, because Christianity was never meant to be siloed. Us doing our little prayers by ourselves. We need to tell what's going on between God and us, what he's saying to us, what we're saying to him. But that's not how we do church this decade. We're going to change that though, all right? It's about 7 minutes till 8. About 8 o'clock, we'll start in this room right over here. We will go from 8 till 9 for anybody that'd like to. Please don't feel one bit of pressure other than, could you practice even now, Jesus, what do you want? I'm your body. What do you want me to do? I've been crucified. I no longer live. It's you. So, but that's how we're called to live all day, right? Not my will, but yours be done. Isn't that how we live? Right. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. See? So do whatever you think best. You're welcome. We'll start at about 8 o'clock. We'll quit at 9. We will practice the presence of Jesus, and we'll have fun. Okay, Pastor?